All right. Last week, I hope you enjoyed it. I got all kinds of reviews all over the map, from that was really good to it was kind of weird to everything in between. So I just wanted to give you a taste. I didn't know how he was going to be, and I was not at all displeased in what he had done, but he was a different culture than we, for sure. It's good for us to see other cultures coming in and see what God's doing with other people. So, but I'm going to go back to a series that I started 2 weeks ago. And it's a subject that I think maybe for some of you would be kind of strange. For others, I think you might be a little bit perturbed that I'm talking about this. For me, it's one of the key principles of Christian life, which is why I don't care if somebody's perturbed about it, because I'm going to do it anyway. I want to talk about the whole concept of authority, which is something that's really difficult for us Americans to understand, because we're the independence people. Yesterday was Independence Day. Who's going to tell us to do anything? You know, authority is something, well, somebody can have authority, but we may take it away from them and protest or whatever. But in the Christian world, the principle of authority is very important, because, you know, we're a kingdom of God people, and we have a king, which is also very odd compared to most people in the United States. Even in England, they have a queen, but nobody listens to her. They think she's really cool and cute, and they go see her, but she doesn't tell anybody what to do in their lives, for sure. But we have a king who does tell us something to do in our lives. We have a king who does have authority in our lives. I mean, that's why we say the little phrase, Jesus is Lord. It's because he really is. And so it is his business to talk about and look at things in our life. He's not just a neat God that we can come into church on Sunday and listen to cool music and think like, well, that's all there is to it. So authority can be a hard thing to talk about, especially if you've ever been abused by authority. And I'm going to guess approximately 100% of you have been abused by authority. I have been, in multiple levels, work and church and all kinds of things. And so, even if our leaders are godly leaders, they have character, and I know I try as much as possible to be a leader who is serving you and loving you, and yet at the same time I feel like God has made me into a role sometimes of being a watchman, speaking out what it is that I hear God saying or what it is that I see you doing that God may want to say, hey, wait, time out, let's talk about this. And so there's an authority there that I have. So in Scripture, both the Old and the New Testament talk a lot about authority. There's a lot of stories about authority. And Hebrews chapter 13 says to us, obey your leaders and submit to them. How does that feel? Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls and will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with sighing, for that would be harmful to you. How do you feel when you see this bright red sign that says, obey, submit? You're going, well, I just don't think so. Who does he think he is? Who's telling me this stuff? Except, oops, wait, this is the Bible. This is God speaking. And sometimes he calls on us to obey authorities that are in our lives. Now, relax, I'm not trying to start a cult. We're not having Kool-Aid after the meal or anything like that. But when you feel that emotional swelling of hearing the words, obey and submit, I mean, you don't hear that. I don't ever see it on Facebook. You know, we ought to all obey and submit. Let's see, where was that in Facebook the last time? Not. And so there's sort of an emotional check in us because we're going, well, wait, you know, there's something in me that just doesn't like that at all. A couple of Sundays ago, I shared this following scripture, Matthew 20. And it says, when the 10 heard it, they were angry with their brothers. The story is James and John, sons of Zebedee, that's hard to say, want to be on the right hand and left hand of Jesus. And in the glory, they think this is cabinet positions in the new government that's going to take over from Rome, and they want to be top guys in it. And so the 10 heard it and were angry with them. They were angry, but they wanted it too. They wanted to be that too. But Jesus called to them and said, you know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. My job is to serve you. My job is to help you to grow, to help you to walk in a peaceful, God-like walk. My job is to help you through times of trouble and trials and testing, especially when it's your own stupid fault for doing it and getting in there, that God wants to break into your life. And sometimes I get the wonderful job of calling on you and saying, you know, maybe there's a different way, a better way of living life. Jesus, in this case, redefines authority. It's to serve, bless, release, encourage, inspire, just to lift people up. But sometimes it's to chew on you a little bit. Sometimes it's to say, hey, wait, time out. Now, I can tell you, and they've told me this, and I've learned in the 10 years being a pastor that it's true, that I am never someone's pastor until I can say the words no and obey. And I don't use those very often, maybe no more often. I don't remember telling anyone to obey, but maybe Beth Ann, but then she doesn't listen anyway, so. But if I can't say those simple things, now what I would mean is obey God. What I mean is no, what you're doing is not a godly thing to do. And we all are in the midst of that. So we don't have a framework for the kingdom in the United States. It just doesn't fit very well. All authority, though, we have to realize, my authority, we think we elect our leaders, but even their authority comes from God. It is God-given. Romans chapter 13, Paul, the apostle, says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So I knew this scripture was coming in my sermon, and I hear Obamacare, and I'm thinking, but he is the president of the United States, whether we like it or not. Some really like it, some really don't, and there's not too many people in the middle. But we have a place in government. But Paul says, everyone must submit. Of course, you're saying, well, what about dictators? They're killing people, and is there no room for exceptions? Well, we can look at exceptions, but we have to be careful, because the place we don't want to be is in a place of rebellion, a place of disobedience, because the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in rebellion. The Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in disobedience. That's not where we find him. And so when we get into that area, we open ourselves up to trouble in our lives. We open ourselves up to even demonic power. There's a story, I'm just going to take a clip of this scripture, 1 Samuel 15. And this is about the king Saul. And the prophet Samuel is saying to him, for rebellion is like the sin of divination and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. He's telling Saul, the king of Israel, that since you decided to rebel against God, that's the same as the sin of divination. What's the sin of divination? Anybody know? Witchcraft. Yes, it's like worshiping the one who is the number one rebel. Now, I do see on Facebook, be a rebel, that kind of thing all the time. And I'm going to say, think about that the next time you post it. You're not giving God the glory on that. I don't want to get too preachy on this, but do you believe in demonic stuff? I mean, you really should. That's quite real. But this is core stuff. The fall of Satan was rebellion. He thought he was too good for God. He thought he was better than. And what we need is submission. The other word for submission is faith in God. I'm going to submit my life to what's happening to me right now. And I'm going to have a faith that God is the one who's caring for me, who's taking care of me. We have to be careful when we speak against God's authority. I could give you, this is a talk that I was telling Paula, I could do 3 hours today on this if you want. But I'm going to keep it to two. But there's just story after story from Joseph and the Pharaoh and the three guys in the oven. Those guys, yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all those. Here's one from two really godly people, brother and sister to the man. This is Moses, Miriam, and Aaron. Numbers 12 says, while they were at Hazeroth, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. Can you believe he married a Cushite woman? And they said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? I mean, is he, special? Has he not spoken through us also? Aren't we special? Aren't we important? Don't we count for something? And the Lord heard it. You see, I made that bold. And the Lord heard it. He hears the gossiping, the bad-mouthing of whoever it is. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more so than anyone else on the face of the earth. That's saying quite a bit. And he said, hear my words. When there was a prophet among you, I, the Lord speaking here, of course, make myself known to them as in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Not so with my servant Moses. He's entrusted with all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. God, the pillar of the cloud at day and the fire at night, departed the people of Israel. He was mad. And there's a lot more to the story. You can look in Numbers 12. But they're grumbling, they're mumbling, they're talking about all the bad things happening that Moses is doing. Some of them are saying, we ought to go back to Egypt. At least there we got some, you know, really good Egyptian food or whatever. And they are speaking against Moses. And God heard it. And I can tell you that if we're mumbling and grumbling people, that, and I'm not saying standing up for the truth is that, but just calling on whoever you think you don't agree with and just putting them down, chewing on them, especially if there's someone in authority over us, government, church, whatever, we need to really be careful. We're on thin ice. Rebellion and grumbling is contagious. Paul talks about this, and he calls division one of the worst things. He wrote a whole book called Ephesians that's just about unity. The Holy Spirit, he says in there, is about unity. There he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, and we're Gentiles if you're not Jews, or there is somebody here, but... And so, the saying, we want everyone to come together. Communion that we do, the purpose is to just let us all sit down, calm down, take it easy, and become one in God. Of course, the answer, or the question again is, what about evil authority? What should we do about that? When they're really bad. They're evil. Well, Peter chimes in as well as Paul. In First Peter 2, he says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Well, if you're talking about what if the government is bad, Peter is talking at a time in which the government was Caesar. And in this particular case, Caesar was Nero, who was about as loony as they get. And Nero was killing Christians for entertainment. He'd throw them into, of course, you know, the den, the Colosseum, and watch the tigers and lions and so forth eat them up. Probably the grossest, one of the grossest things is he'd douse them, and he'd have backyard parties in the evening, and he would set them on fire to be his torches to light the party. That had to smell good. This is the government Peter's talking about when he writes this. This is the government that, after he writes this, puts Peter to death and Paul to death. And he's saying this, whoa, time out. How far are you supposed to take this? Well, I'm not saying that you should allow yourself to get set on fire, but I think we really have to think about that. Now, like I told you, I'm a student of this. I've been a student of this for 40 years, this whole idea of authority. It's intrigued me. I've shared some about me being a consultant and stepping into a temporary role, but having lots of authority in a company, fire presidents and close down plants. And And that's kind of cool and interesting, but this authority thing goes the other way too. Some of you have heard my stories, but I worked for 5 years for a company here in Monroe County that was, when I went to work for them, the name of it was Dundee Cement, and then they went into other names. But anyway, I had a boss who, if you want to talk about bad, talk about wicked, talk about brutal, this guy was. And he had this philosophy of management. It was called management by conflict. And what that was he kept us all fighting with each other so that we didn't have any sort of coalitions to come against him. At least that's what my observation was. As an example, he walked into my office one day. I was a maintenance engineer. And he said, "Has the storeroom got those pump parts in yet?" I go, "No, I don't think so." So he picks up the phone in my office. He calls the storeroom supervisor. He said, "I'm in Vic's office, and he's telling me that you don't have those pump parts in yet," making it sound like I'm complaining to him about it. So then, of course, I would go and talk to the supervisor and tell him what he did. And you think, oh, well, that's good. But then he would go to our supervisor and tell him that I told him that. And the place was in conflict all the time. That was where I worked, and I was trying to practice this authority thing. He was authority over my life in that area. And I had to, well, some of you heard the punchline of, it was January 13th, 1978. Gee, how do you know that? Well, it was Friday the 13th. And they called me, he called me in his office, and he had a couple other managers there, and he fired me. And he says, we're going to let you go. And I go, really? Why? I've been there 5 years. And he said, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, wait, hold it, never mind, that's okay. Thank you, I've got 5 good years, I learned some things. I'll pack my stuff and go. He says, well, hold on a second, you're taking this really well. He says, how about if we make a deal? Well, I am now out of work, I got 4 kids at home, my wife didn't work. And so I was sort of open for a deal. I said, what are you talking about? And he ended up having me stay another 3 months after being fired and work to finish out the job that I was obviously incompetent to do, and let me go after those 3 months. I said, I'll need some time to look for work for a new job. And he said, how much do you need? And I said, 2 days a week. So I worked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for 3 months and had 4 days a week off. Of course, marched all the family through the dentist and all that kind of stuff before we left. But God put me into a new job at a company called Bechtel that was the best engineering job I had had yet. But one engineer said, why do you take this from him? Well, I mean, one answer was I needed to care for my family. But the other was, I just said, he can't make me act like he's acting. I want to follow in the authority that's over me to do that. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's the principles in which we trust God for our future, not taking on our boss or taking on, I mean, we're a democratic government, so we can do things within a peaceful way there and speak whatever we want to speak. But we are not rebels, we're not rebellion, we're not that kind of thing. There was a book written 40 years ago, a guy by the name of Larry Christensen. It's called The Christian Family, and he was talking about wives submitting to husbands. Well, this sermon's sort of about that, but not, and I'm not gonna go into that one, except that he had this principle that I thought was pretty good. If you're a wife and your husband is just treating you lousy, that what you do is you submit to God through your husband, and you end up with what he called a spiritual nutcracker. I don't know if this makes sense or not, but it sort of did to me, of letting God put pressure on whoever's above you that's giving you the hard time. Because you're calling out to God. I have done that, where I've had people over me in authority who have treated me bad, so I've gone to my higher power up there and said, help me to deal with this. And God does. Sometimes taking care of the person who's doing it to me, sometimes taking care of me. But I hope this makes sense. Your focus is on trusting in God and believing in Him. Now, why am I talking about this whole authority thing? Well, there's life issues that we can get into a lot of trouble. But let me hit one more point, and then I'm going to wrap up. Let's go to Matthew 10. And it says, "Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples, gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to cure every disease and every sickness." He didn't give them the power to heal. He gave them the authority to do that. When we pray for healing, we don't go, "Well, God, if it's your will that you'd..." No, God is giving us the authority. Now, He may do some things, He may not do some things. With that, we know the kingdom is already here, but not all the way. But we have the authority to do it. He's sending us out with the authority to do that. Now, as Christians, that's a big thing. I can tell you that most of you, and I'll put my hat in that too, have been talked out of the authority you have been convinced you really don't have any authority. You're just kidding yourself. I mean, it was a big thing for the Pharisees to see Jesus there. In Matthew 21, he says, "When he entered the kingdom, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?' Jesus said to them, 'I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you what authority I do these things.'" I'm not going to get into the story other than say authority was a big issue amongst all of them. And they were really concerned because he spoke with authority. They go, "Wow, this guy really seems to have some power behind the things he's saying." He wants us to have that power behind what we say and do. And sometimes more often on what we do than what we say. God works in authority. He's given us great power to love and serve. When we pray, we're just not hoping that God hears us, but we're listening to what He wants to do, and then we're praying into that with the authority of saying we're doing what God's will is. So we have to step out from God's authority to do and find the prayers that are effective. When we step out of His authority, then our prayers are less effective. We're going, "I don't care what God wants. I want this person healed." Whoops. Let's go back to, what does God want? I'm going to end by just letting you know that I have a book in the back, which I forgot to look up, but I think I have two or three copies of it. If authority is a problem in your life, especially in a church setting, I have a real cool story called A Tale of Three Kings. It's the story of Saul, David, and Absalom. And I'd be willing to bet that you will find yourself in one of those three characters. It's actually a true story, but the way it's told, there's an obvious moral to it. So I wanted to say, encourage you, you guys have all got a tremendous amount of authority from God. If you say and believe Jesus is Lord, then you have a lot of power behind you. And God's calling you to that authority. But you want to walk with it in humility, as Moses did, and you want to walk with it in submission to what God wants in your life. I'm going to hand you out a card, or actually, Mark is, and sermon response. When did I find myself under bad authority? Not did I, but when did I? And what was my response? I'm going to let you guys fill these out and think about that a little bit. This is important stuff. This is just to go off, you know, again, like I said, I'm not trying to build a cult. I'm not trying to say, okay, now obey. You know, snap to it, folks. Yeah, now. But I'm saying there really is a lot to this. And when God says obey, we really want to do that. And when we know, we'll really know. How will I know if God's speaking? You'll know. Especially if you're not doing whatever he's asking you to do. Then you'll really know, because he'll turn the burners up a little bit. So then I'll ask the band to come up once these are filled out.